Welcome to the Style Frame Saturdays podcast. I'm your host, Caroline Lee. Join me as I take a deep dive into the wonderful world of style frames and interview those who are industry wizards when it comes to this stage of the animated production process. For those who may not know, style frames are pieces of creative that are developed during the pre-production phase of an animation project, and they help creators and clients alike get an idea of the overall style of a piece. Sometimes the initial vision is carried through to the end, and other times it ends up on the cutting room floor. During this podcast, we'll discuss projects of all shapes and sizes, and the challenges, rewards, and lessons learned while developing what I like to call each guest's favorite frame. As we've mentioned in previous episodes, this podcast would not be possible without the help from Riverside and Anchor. They are the Style Frame Saturdays podcasting tools of choice, and if you're interested in learning more about their capabilities, we've got a couple of links in today's show notes for you to check out. So now that you know how we're getting this podcast to you, let's dive in to today's episode. Today's guest is an integral part to the Ordinary Folk team. She's contributed to so many of the studio's story-driven pieces and continues to do so through direction and design. She embodies what it means to be a team leader and is someone that I've personally looked up to for quite some time. I can't wait to talk shop with her, so please help me in welcoming Grace Peterson to the show. Hi, Grace. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. How have you been?
Hi, I've been so well. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited about this.
Of course, it's my pleasure. And I'm so thrilled that you're able to join us on the show today. I know offline we've been talking a lot about, you know, style frames and the team behind the stuff that you've been doing over at Ordinary Folk and everything. So I'm so happy that you're able to jump on today and, talk a little bit about style frames with us. For anyone who doesn't know you, would you mind telling our audience a little bit about yourself, perhaps a little bit about your story and how you got into the field of animation and motion design?
Yes, I'll try and keep it short. I went to school, well, I'm from Wisconsin and I currently live in Wisconsin with my husband and our little golden retriever, Rose. And I went to school near where I live now, actually, just kind of like a local college. I had this idea, I had to go to like a fancy art school to do art stuff, but I couldn't afford it. So my mom was like, this is a good option. It's like, all right, I'll do it. And honestly, it was the best decision. I was able to like get involved with the animation community in Minneapolis, which is not too far from me. And there I like made connections with people. I actually met Greg Stewart through that group. I think it was, there was some sort of collaboration that was like an animated advent calendar open call for entry. And I think we both submitted to it. I think maybe that's how we first connected. But so we met there and like I was able to get involved more. And I was like, wow, I really like this motion graphics thing. Like they're not really telling me about this in school. It was so animation focused and like motion graphics. I mean, they didn't really have programs for that yet or like they weren't calling, they're just calling it animation. I think now it's become more of a thing of like it's a field now. Then I started working for a company in Minneapolis called Motion 504, and I met so many great people. And I think the biggest thing there was they gave us the freedom out, like when we didn't have work stuff going on, to explore like what we're interested in. Because my boss at the time was like, if you invest your time in things you're interested in, that's only going to help the company more when projects keep coming along. Sure. And I thought, wow, that's really smart. And I was doing like type animation and like little like, you know, bouncy type, you know, like the I started in animation, but I was so much more interested in like I spent so much more time on how it would look. And that was just always the fun part for me. And I realized like, wow, like through my internships that I learned what a style frame was. You know, I interned at a couple companies in Minneapolis and I didn't even learn that through school. It was through like work experience and just realizing like you can make a career out of making beautiful things and making a move. It's always hard to explain that to your family, what you actually do. No one understands. But so I worked there for a while and then I went to Blend because it like we went with our work team. We were like logging on at different times, trying to get tickets because they sold out so fast. So like my coworker over there was like, hey, I got some over here. And someone was like, yeah, I got some. We got enough. We can go. And it was so fantastic. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had. And I learned so much. And actually at the time, I ran into Greg again there because he just started working with Ordinary Folk. And okay, I remember cool. like we kept in contact a little bit, and I remember thinking like, wow, I'm so thrilled for you that you like, I knew that was like, I would have loved to work at a place like that. And so I was just so happy for him. And then we connected at Blend, and he's like, yeah, you know, like, so I'm with Victor and Jorge and Stefan, and like, you know, we're looking for a designer now. And I remember thinking, I'm sure they're looking in Vancouver. Like, I hope you find who you're looking for. but I also had the back of my mind was like, oh my gosh, wouldn't that be amazing? But I wasn't really like designing at that time. So
okay,
you asked my background and getting to motion graphics. I really kind of feel like I stumbled my way through a little bit, and I feel very blessed to have been like met the right people at the right time. And like
right.
a lot of it is connection and networking and like knowing people, everyone in the industry knows who everyone is. So that mm-hmm. was a surprise for me. And I really am really thankful for everyone like trusting me and letting me try things and see what I love to do, and then see that I love to do that, and like see the potential, because I don't always see that. Like, I really don't. So it's just like, you have to take an opportunity when it's presented to you. And I feel like that's kind of how I started working with Ordinary Folk, and I've been with them ever since. So I hope they'll have me for as long as they're able to. So that's longer than I wanted it to be, but that's where I got to kind of motion graphics and what I do now. And I'm mostly designing and art directing.
That's
figuring
very cool.
out how to art direct. So I'm still learning so much.
But that's a really cool story. And I'd never realized that, like, you know, it was the fact that you started out in animation and motion graphics, and then, you know, have worked your way over into doing more of like the design and concept and art direction type stuff. I feel like maybe this isn't, you know, the correct way to think about it, but I feel like when I've heard of like art directors or creative directors in the past, they've got like such like a design background to start.
And yeah,
maybe
that's
true. Some of their way into animation, but it's kind of cool to hear that you were actually, you know, sort of jumping right into the animation stuff and then sort of like meandered over to the design stuff. And it's like, oh, this is really cool too. Let me try this out kind of thing.
Yeah, that's and really, it's really interesting. It's kind of backwards.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. I was sort of like, I don't know if it technically is backwards or not. You know, I feel like it could go in any one direction, you know, and I feel like that's what, you know, motion design and motion graphics are too. Like people, again, like you said, you just kind of stumble your way into it with, you know, whatever background you've had previously, and you make your way with, you know, what your interests are and the tools and the experience that you come with it. So it's just so cool to hear how people get into it, and to hear that, you know, like for you, it was that, you know, I actually started out in animation, and now I'm actually, you know, working more so on the art direction side of it. So that's really cool. Cool. Well, speaking of art direction, I'd love to jump into the frame that you're going to share with us today. Could you tell us a little bit about the piece that you've selected?
Yes. So I selected a frame from a piece we did for a company called Spline. They make 3D accessible to people online. So it's fully online. You don't have to, you can download a program from it, but you can also just work with it like on a browser. And it's a tool that's designed for people who don't normally do 3D, which is like mind blowing to me. Like I can see tools in there, like the pen tool and like shapes and things that are like recognizable from like an Illustrator and Photoshop type background. And to have them like make it so easy for someone to just jump right into it and make something really cool in 3D without being so overwhelmed by like the toolkits and all the buttons and everything like that. So it was really cool that this company came to us for like a promotional piece about their program. And we had a lot of creative freedom as to like, how do we tell this story about like this transformation from knowing only how to do things in 2D and make things in like Photoshop, Illustrator, and then like, boom, this whole new 3D world is accessible to me. So this piece, this frame is from this project that was really challenging in a variety of ways. So like we were talking a little bit before the program, like I chose this frame not because it's the flashiest or like the craziest visual or like the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. It's really fairly basic, very, very simple. But I think I chose it because it represents so much more. And I'm really excited to get into that because it has this sort of feeling of like possibility and unknowingness, and like the the next big thing is just across the next horizon, and like you're looking at it and you're studying it and you're so excited about it. And that's kind of what I like the feeling about this frame specifically, as to how it represents how we approach the project as a whole. Is like, you don't really know how it's going to work, but we're going to figure it out. So specifically this piece, because of the unique product, we're like, wow, it's a visual tool. How can we use this visual tool to help us create this piece in a way that's unique? And, you know, we had two options in front of us. We could make something we knew how to make and make it really well using tools we know, like Cinema 4D. But it's about this program that is a 3D program that's not Cinema 4D. Or right. We could take a leap and try something we've never done before by using this tool, which we've never used before. It's new. How could we use this tool to help us bring this piece to life in animation? And it's not an animation tool as of now, or as it was last year. I guess it's been almost a year since we did this piece, but at the time we made it, it wasn't animation, an animation program. Maybe they have that in the works. We have no idea. But so we had two options in front of us, and Jorge, our creative director, and I really appreciate him for this, like, it's always challenging us to try the new thing and to push for being uncomfortable, even though it's not easy. It's not the easy sure. road. It's like easy road, hard road. And right. He's like, let's do the hard thing and let's figure out how we can use this this tool in the animation, because it's only going to make it better. Like, not only is it about spline, it's made with spline. So The challenge there is that because it's not an animation tool, we approached it in a sort of stop motion way, we had to plan out how the animation would look using Cinema, but import it into Spline, texture it in Spline, and export each frame from Spline as an image, and then put all those images together for the final animation. So it's like, you know, instead of just hitting render and like, you know, having the video move, it was like way more steps to the process.
Wow.
Yeah. And there was also things like, you know, like, how do you make it look as amazing as you envision with some limitations still yet in the product that's not built for being sure. like animation friendly, or like we've never used it. So we had to have several people on our team take time and just play with it and figure out like,
oh, cool.
How is it best to make a character in this program? Like, how can we make it easily to like move the way we want it to? So I already forgot what your question was. I'm already jumping into way more than you probably asked for.
It was a very broad question, so this is a great answer. No. It gives a really great overview of what the project is, and it's really cool to hear that you guys were actually using Spline. It's actually really cool to hear that Jorge had kind of said, you know, let's do the hard thing. Let's be uncomfortable. Let's use the tool to build this, you know, this spot for this tool. So it's really cool to hear that, like, you know, it actually turned out to be kind of like a stop motion approach, even though it's a 3D tool. Like, that's that workflow, you know, I'd love to talk about that a little bit more as to like how you approached it technically.
Yeah.
But before we get into the technical stuff, I'd love to backtrack a little bit and just talk about the concept of it. You had touched upon it a little bit by saying, you know, like, you know, we wanted to use the software that we're making the piece for. But could you walk us through like what the creative brief was like a little bit, and how you kind of ended up on this actual concept of like the software itself?
Totally. So starting out, we had so many ideas. Is like, we were asking a lot of questions like, do we need to show panels of the software in it, or can we just describe how it works in a more abstract, like new world type of way, like Spline world? And we landed on the concept of like having a character and following her story and starting out on the character and ending with the character. And she's the main part throughout all of it, piecing it together. Our wonderful designer, Avi, had a lot to do with the story. She developed that kind of like character-centric like storyline, and then had a lot of like sketches for our character, which we internally named Marge. So if I say Marge, that means our lady character in our piece here. And she like started the look of her. And then we had Lorena, Lorena G from, she's a wonderful illustrator working from Barcelona, really help us develop the look of this piece and make it like what colors do we want to use in this spline world? If we're thinking of it, like, you know, we want to have a very specific look for before spline and after spline. And our character is stuck in a 2D world. So it starts out just absolutely flat, like no volume whatsoever. And then she finds the spline orb, and then she like is transformed into like this new spline world, which is like the 3D, like orbs and panels all around her spinning, and the new like world with trees and cliffs and like a beautiful sunset that we end on. Lorena was really exploring how can we see that it looks just kind of not exciting and really flat and limiting in the beginning, and then absolutely like mind-blowingly beautiful for the 3D spline part. And so it was really like this big team collaboration of like, let's all just kind of figure out how to make that contrast so we can really feel that transformation like as the turning point and like really bring the viewer into it as well. We have some shots where like the hands are coming in from the frame and transforming a box, but it could be like, it's from like the viewer's point of view, almost like you are Marge in that minute, like moment, and you're like turning the box and like transforming it and like curving the corners and things like that. And so we really wanted to make it involved in that way too. So as far as the visual development goes, like we knew we wanted it to be, well, we landed on the idea of it being like a story to follow, this sort of fantasy world that's like describing a real experience in an unreal way, and have it be just really like, how beautiful can we make it using this spline tool?
Very cool. And it's so cool to hear how that sort of transformation happened over time, because, you know, you had shared some of the early sketches that you guys had done when you were sort of, I guess, I'm assuming, figuring out what the storyline of this was going to be. And there, you know, that very first frame is a character, like you can see a character holding like a flat object or whatever. But then the rest of the early sketches kind of look like they head more in the direction of showing features of like what the UI is and the user experience is going to be like, and not so much maybe focused on the character. But, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, if there was, you know, like a character behind that in some of the other sketches. I know we only, you know, are looking at a handful at the moment, but, you know, what made you guys flip the script a little bit to say like, you know, well, actually let's focus on this character and her world versus here's the product and here's how we're showcasing it, more or less.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to share these early sketches specifically because I actually went through the whole Slack channel last night, the archive channel of the project, just to like remember where we started. And this was one of the first like early sketches that was at least posted in channel from myself. I think Abby had done exploring. She had put her sketches in like a different spot, but I had posted these. And I remember my post to this one specifically was like, here's some early ideas based off of Abby's idea of starting on the character, because we thought that was important. And then I wanted to show the rest of the sequence because it was like, we were really exploring ideas like, what if we just go shapey, right? Like, right. You know, like how much of the character do we see? And so showing these, I wanted to kind of like show like the amount of things we were exploring as to like, we need to go down different avenues to figure out, is this right or is this wrong? And this felt wrong. Sure. So it felt too distant, or we weren't connected. Like we start on a character, but where did they go? You know, like,
right.
So showing these early sketches, like this is only like a very small amount of like the plethora of ones that we went through. Of like, we had another character design too, that was made of shapes actually, like a circle. And like Lorena was working in that one where they like walked up some stairs and went into a doorway, you know, like it was very like a lot more like graphic and less human. And Abby was exploring the look of what if we really just make it more about Marge, you know, and that's what the client ended up really liking. So like, we just kind of took that and ran with it. And so I show those early sketches because it's like, it shows a little bit what we're thinking about, and then we go a little bit this way, and then we come back this way, you know. And it's like, so much of style framing and like concept development is like, you need to go down several different roads to figure out which is the right avenue to take at the end.
For sure.
I feel like I'm talking so much about roads as like analogies here, but that's how it felt. It felt so much like a maze kind of. I feel like every project is like that. And I always reach a point in the project where I question everything. And I freak out like a little bit. And I think everyone in the team recognizes and like, we're here for you. We got you. Like, you're fine. But I think it's also important to like keep asking yourselves why. Like, why are we using the character mostly? Is this going to help the story or hurt the story? Why would we show shapes? Is that going to help or hurt the story? So in sharing those sketches, that's really what our thinking was behind that like little minute amount of all the sketches that we started out with.
That's really cool. No, and to go back to what you were touching on earlier too, it's something that Ryan Summers touched upon in his episode as well, that like you have to afford yourself the opportunity to kind of go through this corn maze of ideas, because you know, you like, you don't know what's going to resonate ultimately. So, you know, I love, you know, fun animated shape type stuff, you know, like you guys have, you know, done some excellent work, you know, with that as well. And I know there's so many other studios that, you know, do that as well. And it's always so cool. But like the fact that, you know, you were like, well, what about a character? Like, you know, let's create a story around a character for, you know, this particular product. And the fact that, you know, you know, we're incorporating some of the early ideas with the character and then going back and forth. It's just so cool to hear how jumping through that corn maze of ideas ultimately led to this sort of solidified topic and idea and concept. So it's really cool to hear the backstory behind it. Because yeah, like, I don't know, were you guys thinking, well, you had a character actually, obviously, in one of those early sketches. So there was going to be an element of a character, you know, probably from the get-go, but like, yeah. I don't know, did it ever cross your mind that maybe there wouldn't be a character in this piece?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we explored that. Like, I think, well, honestly, I think maybe we did always think a character, because it's the beginning of the script is talking so much about like, you know, like you're designing in a 2D flat world, but like, oh no, it's only flat. You can't make it 3D. So it was so much about someone's experience that we, true. I think we knew we wanted to be a character of some sort, but like that specific thing is so broad. Is it shapes that become a character? Is it a very like non-human looking character, or is it someone more human who has like hands and eyes and a nose, and like you can see like, oh, I can see their hands as being my hands creating that thing, versus like, you know, a character that's like rearranges into different like shapes that you could make with spline or something like that. So I think it was kind of the like range, like figuring out the range of like, where do we take this character as far as look and experience and how we relate to that character.
Sure. No, definitely. Well, and speaking of the character, I think you may have answered this question a little bit, but I'll ask it anyway. You know, how did you hone in on the particular look of the character? Like, I know you had said you'd started out with exploring shapes, sort of creating the character itself. This is obviously a much more illustrative style and approach. So, you know, based on the team of people that were behind it, you know, how did you come to this sort of look and feel for the character?
That's a really great question. I think it was honestly like, I want to say like a deeper meaning or something behind all of it, but I think it was really just like Avi, Lorena, and I just took some time on our own to kind of like come up with some ideas, and we brought them all together, and I'm pretty sure we put them in the delivery doc for the client. But we ended up just like really connecting with and loving with this character that Avi developed. So we took her like rough sketch and then like cleaned it up to make it, you know, like, we see where like the boots are and that she has a shirt, and we were trying to keep it simple because we didn't want to like, you know, put too many buttons or lines or anything that would be very hard to replicate in 3D, but make her human enough, you know, so that we can relate to her. So it was such a balance of like, her look. And so that's why we wanted to make sure we had a turnaround for this, so that we knew for everyone working on the project of like, this is the level of complexity our character has. She has hands with, I think it's 4 fingers, not even 5 fingers, a shirt, pants, boots, hair, head, you know, so right, really right. Fairly simple, but the shape of it is like proportions of like, head to shoulders and hands to head and body and things like that is more human than like kind of shapey. And I think that's the vein that we were all most excited about.
For sure. No, and it's cool to hear that you guys are sort of thinking ahead too, knowing that at some point you were going to incorporate spline into the workflow as well, that you were in terms of the character thinking like, okay, we have to make this work.
Yes.
With
yes.
the character in the program
it's
too.
Such a balance. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool to hear that the character development was really a combination of like, we want to make it human, but we know we have, may have some limitations ahead of us in terms of the software. So like, let's strike a balance in the middle. And Marge is just such a cute character. So you guys did an excellent job there.
Yeah. We kind of fell in love with her. I think everyone did. There were some really fun animation tests and some really wacky, goofy ones as people were trying to find in Spline, like texture mapping or wrapping or whatever was like there. I should have included this, but there was a screenshot of someone who was like, I think it was Marcus working on the character with us, Marcus Backy. I don't know how to say his last name, but gosh, he's so good. His like character, which was awesome. I should have put the 3D turnaround in there. Oh, I don't know what I was thinking, but, he also just like all the fun screenshots, you know, when 3D goes wrong in a really weird way, it's like, those are all the moments we super enjoyed of like, oh, that's fantastic. That's how it should look like in the end, jokingly, but.
That's amazing. No, and I can't imagine how much fun it was working on this
so
too.
Fun.
I mean, just every step of the way from
it was
like,
fun
concept.
And so hard. I think it was maybe the most challenging project I've worked on to date. Like I think every project has had its, well, we worked on a few during that COVID period that were like really touch and go because it was like so uncertain. But like, as far as like complexity, this is probably like the most things we've had to figure out for a project, at least that I've been a part of. So saying this, that like we had a ton of fun, but we also had a lot of like questioning and really like struggling, to be honest, you know, like I think,
sure.
You know, trying to figure out like, was this the right call? Like, are we doing the right thing with this project? Combined with, we had some, I think we learned a lot about communication through this project, not only with each other, other freelancers, systems, but also with the client because we're using their program, we had to develop a relationship with them where we could be collaborative with them as well, because there were some things that we had to bring to them. Like, we would really love to do this. Is there any possible way that you guys could show us how to do this with your program or help us out with this at all? And so, I know that Jorge and Stefan had several meetings with them trying, and with some of our main 3D people, like Daniel Duncan was a saint on this one. We couldn't have done it without him. He really helped us develop, how we use Spline and how we can make it doable, alongside working with some of Spline's like people so that they could really help us achieve this end result. So it was an effort, not only on the client side, it was an effort on our side, that was really, really hard.
And it sounds like
really
it, yeah.
rewarding at the end. Once we were done, it was like, we did it. Oh my gosh. You know, like it may not have like seemed, you know, like you always look back on projects and you're like, oh, could this have been done differently? Could this be differently? But like this one really felt like, I think we did the best we could on that looking back.
no. And it came, I mean, it's such a beautiful piece. It came out, it's awesome. Like it's such a fun, like brand film. I don't know if that's the right terminology for it, but it also sounds like though that you guys were like, and correct me if I'm wrong, like the early sort of like beta testers of it because you were sort of creating.
Kind of. I'm sure they've gone through rounds and rounds. Like it was,
true.
Fully developed when we have worked on it, like it's been released, it had been released and everything, but
right.
as far as like really pushing its boundaries, you know, like we right. were using it in a way it wasn't meant to be used. So like, to be fair, it was like we were really deciding that we wanted to use it for animation and it wasn't built for animators, at least at the time.
Right.
So I think it was such an undertaking and we may have asked more of Spline. But I think it worked out. Yeah,
no, definitely. And correct me if I'm wrong too. Like it sounds like, so this piece came out last year. Did you have the full year prior? So that would be 20. Like
yeah.
What was the timeline like on this? I'm just curious because you know, you're obviously working this into the workflow and everything. And then, like you said, kind of pushing the boundaries of it by having these conversations with Spline. How long was the timeline for this?
That's a wonderful question. I had to look back in the Slack channel for this one because I was unsure of that. I feel like we had more time than I think we did. Some of the first messages in the channel, I know they had been in communications a lot, like our producer and their team, about like the project, you know, getting it started, kickstarting and everything.
Sure.
I think they had a few months of conversation about it off and on, you know, like,
okay,
our producer really, really pulled for us on this one. And this was probably if we always need a producer, this project, I was like, I would have cried. I probably did cry still, but if Stefan wasn't there, just like pushing, you know, like representing us, our ideas, conveying the intent and concept behind it. And he really got us, him and Jorge between them, got us the project, and then continued to prove to Spline that we could do it, you know, and do it well. So he was our main communicator, and he'd been in communications, I think, like a good chunk of time just to get the project started. And then I think we started in October 2021, maybe end of September, and we finished like just before Christmas 2021. So October, November, December, like 3 months or two and a half ish. But it was really like we had all hands on deck. We had so many wonderful freelancers helping us out with it too. And it wasn't just the production of like making the piece, like the storyboard, style frames, modeling and animating. In Cinema 4D, we had to take those frames, put them into Spline, and then export was a whole other, we had a whole different channel for that, because it was like, once we have each scene, it was spreadsheets on spreadsheets on spreadsheets. Like every scene had a certain amount of frames that had to be textured, that had to be exported. And so we had like names assigned to each shot for each frame. Several people are exporting each shot at the same time, different frames. So it was a whole production and then a whole export phase, all in that time. So you're right. I don't know how that worked out. We had to get it done though, because it was at the end of the year. It was our deadline. So somehow it all worked.
No. And it's funny you say that too, because like, you know, the show, you know, on this podcast, we talk about, you know, a lot of like the concept early type stuff, but you know, you always forget that, like, you know, there's even the stage before that, like you're saying with, you know, your producer kind of like really like pushing for this project. And then at the very end, really the sort of like quality control aspect of, you know, every project too, that like, you know, you really have to make sure that's really like a thorough process too, because like, you don't want to have any like sort of like miscellaneous frames like slipping in and out of there or like, you know, so it's, yeah, it sounds like it was a really hands-on project. Yes. And it took like probably all the time that you needed during those 3 months to get it done.
Yeah, it was a lot of double checking things, a lot of like careful looking through. I give Greg and Jorge a lot of credit on that, for like carefully looking and seeing like, this seems off, this isn't texture right, we need to re-export that frame. And then going in design too, like looking at, I have a image, I think final adjustments, where I just included a variety of like 9 frames I pulled from one of our fine cuts. I was realizing that the skin tone wasn't showing up in Spline the same color as it was in our 2D frames, which like those were completed and done, and we had to match to those. And so I grabbed, you can even see like the little play bars in some of these at the bottom of some of these images. Like I literally grabbed screenshots and was like, okay, so I'm noticing that like some skin tones are looking a little bit more orange or more red, or a little more desaturated or saturated in certain parts. And so like, is there a way we can sort of match that a little better? And the team hopped right on board, and we were able to make those adjustments to make sure it looked continuous. Like that had to look continuous from the 2D part and the 3D part. So lots of little attention to details, and like, you know, like the monotonous thing, you know, it's like, oh, I don't want to like look through this like so slowly again and again and again, but it's so necessary to make sure it, like one little thing could just throw it off. So
yeah, absolutely.
So much checking over, so many different like fine cut one, fine cut two, fine cut three, fine cut four, right, like versions. Yeah.
Well, that actually plays into the next question I wanted to ask you too. You know, you shared this beautiful sort of like color document on, you know, how you approached the color for this project. And I'm super intrigued by it. So would you mind explaining what is typically involved and what you're trying to achieve at this stage in the process for our audience? Like, could you break down your approach to color on this project for us?
Yes. Yes. So, I included this, this is our rough color script. And then on the left side with a little bank of colors, the skin tones, the background colors, and then some purple, green, and then yellow, reddish, violet colors that we were playing with. Mm-hmm. And these colors are based from a few style explorations Lorena made. She's just wonderful. She just can take things and just next day it's poof, magic. It's just it looks like magic. I know it's not. She's had lots of experience. But she captured that feeling of a new horizon, a new sunrise on this new 3D world, which contrasted the kind of dark purple, stormy beginning, this effort of walking up a mountain, and it's kind of rainy and cold feeling. It's a cold versus warm. With a few shots sprinkled in there that kind of go back through a tunnel of cold to get into more warm things. We have some contrast between there. So she made a few frames for us that we were really digging the colors. And so I took those colors and then just I took literally a screen grab of our storyboard and really roughed in frames so that we kind of knew the beginning will start cold. Then she, boom, enters the spline world, Marge does, and she's in this warm yellow world. And then she's manipulating this square. What does the background look like there? And we went through quite a few versions of this color script too, just to make sure it was we needed some sort of guide for our designers to keep going forward in a productive way. And we knew what the flow would look like emotionally with the mood and everything. Mm-hmm. So even this isn't sort of how the final happened, but it's kind of one of our starts into it. And then the right side of this image, I wanted to include because, this kind of has to go with there were so many stops and starts in this project. We go forward 10 steps and then we present something and oh no, a big question came up 10, maybe 5 steps back and we rethink something. So there's this right side, was actually quite late in the project. We had the color pretty much mapped out. And then, I think we got a note about we kind of want it to be blue instead of purple. And it was oh no, that doesn't only affect this scene. It affects all our scenes because it's part of our color palette. And so, I took some time to take a few of the frames and recolor them to show what would it look like if we keep the purple or what would it look like if we go blue, and then we had to talk about that internally. And this kind of goes with trying to figure out intention behind feedback, is this a concept related change or is this a visual want that we kind of had the color locked in already? And then is this a late change, so we want to accommodate for the client's vision. I think we were trying to figure out, is that necessary for the vision or is it something that wouldn't change the concept or the feel or something? And we were able to work it out. And I think the spline team was so good to us. They understood we get where you're coming from. So much of it has been made already in that way. And I think because Lorena had explored the color palette with purple specifically, a lot of us felt that that did visually work the best. I think the purple went better with the reds and the yellows and the oranges. It's just a little bit more natural in that kind of color scheme. But, so that was I wanted to share that because these things come up sometimes and it's sometimes better to just take a quick pause and try that change before just saying, yes, let's do it and change everything, So I think it's important. I've learned the importance of just trying it out a little bit to see if it works or not before just giving everyone the go ahead. So assessing what feedback we definitely need to institute because it is related to the concept and how spline is portrayed as a product and the story and everything. And then also what I'm learning a lot as an art director trying to figure out, I'm learning so much from Jorge about this, is what feedback should we maybe push back on and with our expertise, suggest to use moving forward, given the way the color feels, we designed it in a certain way to bring this across. Not to say we can't make that change. We totally can. And this is what it would look like, but in our opinion, we believe this will work because of this. So much of, and this goes back to communication, like so much of it, like we also need to be open to change. Like we need to know, like we don't always know the right way to do it. We don't know everything about like their product, like they are the experts of their product. And so we need to take that and digest that information and figure out how to tell that story with what we know how to do. So,
right.
So many learning points. This is why I chose this one, because there's so much I learned on this.
Yeah, no, I bet. And it's a testament to like always having that sort of like creative problem solving hat on, because, you know, you were so correct to say that, you know, it's going to affect more than just this one section of the piece. And mm-hmm. you like actually went through and visually were sort of like, okay, well, let's humor this for a second. You know, let's see how this color is going to really play out throughout the whole piece. And I mean, in this color image that you shared, you know, it's so subtle, like just the subtle difference from purple to blue, but it really makes a huge difference. And I'm sure it affects the whole storyline as well. You know, like what does the color blue convey? What's the, you know, what's the message and tone behind that? Mm-hmm. Whereas the purple is like just a touch warmer, and it kind of ties everything together. So it's really cool to hear how you guys were like, okay, well, let's be open to this feedback, but you know, let's test it out. And then ultimately saying, you know, like this really is the direction we should go. And it is ended up what you ended up using the purple, correct? Right. I watched it this morning. I think it was purple. Okay.
Yes. Yep. And that's part of it too, is like, we trust the designers we're working with as well. You know, like Lorena had started with this palette for a reason, I think, you know, like having worked so much, you know, with color and illustrations like this, like, so I was trusting a lot. Like I thought like, you know, like, yeah, I do like the purple better, but I also have to assess, why do I like it better? And I was trusting there was a reason Lorena, you know, came up with that scheme, because I'm sure she tried a lot of options in the beginning too, but like we gravitated toward that for a reason, you know? So, and I think, yeah, in the end it was the right call.
No, definitely. Well, to talk a little bit more about the technical workflow of this project, you know, when you go to your site, and obviously, as you've mentioned at the beginning of the episode, you know, you guys used spline in parts of the piece to create it, which I think is really cool. I think it's, again, just really great that, you know,
good call, Jorge.
Your creative director was just like, let's do the uncomfortable. Yes. Let's do this. Let's make it happen. What was it like, you know, incorporating it into the overall workflow? Did it speed certain aspects of it up? Did it slow things down? It sounded like there was a lot of problem solving on this piece. So I'm just curious to hear like what it was like just, you know, starting a new project, knowing going into it that you're going to have a new tool to work with as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I maybe shouldn't have been so quick to say it slowed it down, but that was true. It did.
Okay.
It would have
it's
been,
okay.
Like I said at the beginning, like we had the two options, easy road and hard road. And we knew easy road. We know how to do that. We know how to do that well. What if we take the hard road? We know there'll be bumps. We know there'll be flat tires, you know, like we're going to stumble and not know like the right answer or solution. And we're going to have to find those things out. And it was really trusting that we know we can figure it out. We just need to try, you know.
Sure.
The technical aspect of it, our basic process was storyboard, design and modeling and texturing were kind of hand in hand. And that was maybe one of the things I learned most about, because we couldn't make like, that's why I have an image called Final Style Frames, where you see like on the left side, two images that are just 2D kind of color guides. Mm-hmm. And then on the right side, they translated that into the 3D program. So we, rather than saying we had Final Style Frames, we had 2D Style Frames. So those were color guides for our 3D artists to take and infuse into their, into their scenes and make sure that that came across. So the technical part of that was making sure we had our 2D style frame guide, color guide, and then 3D style frames, so that we had every scene modeled, set up, animated in Cinema 4D, so we knew how to translate that to spline and know what frames to export in what sequence. Mm-hmm. And then the big unknown was making sure that we could take our Cinema 4D files, translate them to Spline, texture them. There were scripts involved having to do with like texturing, which was fantastic. Like so many learning experiences, like, oh, like instead of having to go in each individual shape, like they found a solution that could color all those shapes for one scene and then do that for another scene and another scene. But we still had to export each of those frames in each of those scenes individually. So the technical aspect was really so dense, and Daniel was so key in helping us figure that out. And the whole team really, like, I would encourage anyone, like, if they're curious about it, go to the Ordinary Folk Behance website and Behance page, because the full credits are there for everyone who really, really made this a reality. And I'm just trying to remember, like, all the little, like, things, like, we stumbled across, too, is, like, oh, how do we make sure, like, the hands move like this? Or, like, do we use kind of a shiny texture or a matte texture? And we had to learn, like, figure that out in Cinema 4D, the look, and then make sure it showed up in Spline. So we had to do it simultaneously with both programs. And this is my very outside look on the 3D aspect of this project, because I was so much more focused on the color and the storyboard and, like, the final look of it. Mm-hmm. But I also, like, part of my role as the art director was, like, making sure I had eyes on what Daniel and Ricardo and the whole team, Marcus and Nicholas and Taylor were working on with 3D, so that I knew it matched our color guide. I knew it matched our style frames. So often I was giving feedback on a lot of the 3D scene files that these guys and gals were working on, because I had to, my job was less on the design, like actually designing and actually like sketching and stuff myself was more of like the overlook of like, does this match this? And does this detail look right? Or is it too complex? Or should we put lines on this? Or should we not put lines on it to match this other scene? So it was kind of more of like the consistency monitor was my job.
No, totally.
I mean, and I think it paid off, I think in the end, but that was another big technical aspect of it too. Cause they would also come to us with like, we don't really know how to recreate this lighting in Spline. Like we need to find a solution, to do that. I'm going to reference the style frames, final style frames image here with the bottom row where it's this kind of big horizon and big sun. We were working on some 2D style frames that like we had like a cool multiply layer over all the foreground objects so that the background stood out as the warmest thing and the character kind of stood out, you know, like in some cooler tones, she kind of contrasted it. And it just had like that level of like, you know, like when you know a shadow's over something, it feels a little cooler.
Right.
We, our 3D specialist people came back to us and were like, we're not really sure if we can get like, you know, the specific lighting. We can do it in Cinema, but like in Spline, we're not really sure if we can achieve that in the same way we would in Cinema. So we had to find some workarounds of like, okay, maybe we just color the objects to be just like a little bit cooler. And so like, you can see it doesn't exactly match, but we still get that feeling of like, it is colder on the objects in the foreground. It isn't just like, you don't see it as like a multiply layer over it or anything like that. And honestly, maybe that was like the best way to go anyway, but we kind of had to do it. So technically we had some limitations like that, for example, that were like, okay, so we have to figure out, like, should this be a little bit of a darker color, a more of a purple color, and more blues and purples in the foreground so that the reds and pinks and yellows can stand out in the background. So,
Definitely.
Yeah, that was one
example. There's a lot of technical stuff on this project for sure. I mean, like, you know, again, just having that creative problem solving hat on, you know, working with a new tool like Spline and incorporating into your workflow, you know, it's, you know, this last bit that you were just talking about is really cool to see. Like I'm looking at it right now and it's like, yeah, you know, like that had to have been challenging matching the lighting and stuff like that. So it's cool that it looks so seamless in the end, you know, and that you were able to like overcome those challenges. But that does lead me to another question though. You know, what would you say were the biggest challenges and rewards by working on this project?
Wonderful question. Biggest challenges, I think from the outset was the the biggest challenge on the outset was the technical aspect. How do we pull it off? one of the biggest challenges we found out along the way was communication, I think, like across team, making sure we were all on the same page. Like, what channel do we use for exporting? Like, we found out that it was better to have a separate channel for the second phase of exporting, so we didn't have to like busy the design, like creation modeling channel. Mm-hmm. And then like learning how to best communicate with the client to not only solve problems and find out ways we can be more efficient with their product, but also like presenting ideas and like helping to use our expertise to make the story the best it can be.
Sure.
Working alongside them to help achieve this end vision, help them see the end vision, I think maybe was something that we found we were learning a lot about communication wise, and like informing of like how the process works and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I'd say the most rewarding thing was just seeing the collaboration. Like, I think that's why I wanted to share this project out of all of them. Every project is a huge element of collaboration. You know, like it's not, how do I describe this? So many people touched every single frame that not one frame is made by one specific person. And I think that was really, really cool. For me, at least, to kind of look back on and be like, wow, like I know Lorena, Abby, and myself all touched this frame in the design phase alone. And then right. like Daniel and Tiago and, you know, like everyone else like jumped in on the modeling and look of it, and then export, like Mona and Taylor and all these people were like exporting that. So like, I think just knowing, like seeing, I can see all the fingerprints on all the frames. And I think that was maybe the most rewarding thing for me looking back on it.
Oh, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. That's a great answer. Well, then this might have answered this question too, but I'll ask it anyway. You know, what about this frame makes it your favorite frame?
I think that's a good question too. Like I said at the beginning, like this specific frame isn't the most flashy one. I chose it because it's about what it represents as the project as a whole. It's that moment of anticipation of like, I know this thing is really cool and I can't wait to get into it. I can't wait to see what it becomes. And it's just like sort of like little gem of a thing that you look at really carefully and you're so excited to unpack it. That's kind of how I felt about the project, even though there's ups and downs, like every project presents, this one especially had like really, really big ups and really big downs. And I think it ended up more up than down, which is always fantastic. That's always what we hope for. And I think like that's because of the whole team effort. And so I kind of see like the Spline project as that little like gem like circle, which actually turns into a pencil in the piece, you know, like it's like it turns on the side and then it's like the front of a pencil. But like in that one specific frame, to me, that kind of represents like the big potential it presented, the big challenge, you know, like that's how I see the project when we were looking at it at the beginning, like, how do we do this thing? How do we make it the best it can be? Can we use Spline? Like, I just see all the questions in there and all like everyone's answers and chiming in and exploring like, oh, it could look like this. What if we use this color? Like, we can model it like this. Let me try this thing in Spline. And I see that all in that little circle with the person just looking at it so closely, like with curiosity and like such a drive to like try and figure it out. So that's why I chose that one. Very simple to make, very like it doesn't have flares. It doesn't have, you know, fancy gradients. It's just a little thing that someone's really curious about. And I think that's why I chose it as my favorite.
No, that's really cool. That's another great answer too. This, I mean, the frame, you know, what you just described, you know, I can see it in this frame and, you know, I can see why you chose it. You know, learning about how this piece was put together, all the stuff that you guys were doing behind the scenes to get it done and make it to what it was. It's just been so cool to learn about, and I'm so glad that you chose this frame and this project to share with us today. Mm-hmm. If people want to connect with you and learn more about what you and Ordinary Folk are working on, you know, what's the best way for them to do so?
Yeah. I'd encourage just check out Ordinary Folk's work. We love making cool stuff. And I'm thankful every day I get to work with a team that like loves to make cool things too. So we have a website and Behance page. And my personal Instagram is _GracePeterson, Peterson with two, all E's. I know it's a weird spelling. Everyone gets it wrong. So you can find me through the Ordinary Folk website too, if that's easier.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, we'll be sharing links to, you know, Ordinary Folk site, your work, and some of the tools and resources we mentioned here for our audience to check out. But that wraps it up for today, everyone. Feel free to email us at styleframesatpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think of the show. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, if you like what you see and hear here, don't forget to subscribe, like, share, and review the show on your favorite podcasting platforms as well. And lastly, come connect with us on social. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you again, Grace, for joining us today. And we'll see you all in the next one.
Thank you so much for having me.